Dread Podcast. Your favorite hosts are back. The Dreadheaded Wonder, Will Lowry, Dougie Fresh right here. Will, man, we out of the weekend. What's happening, man?
I'm glad we out of the weekend. I'm glad. Bro, did you do all your shit so I can go into you?
No, I'm just here. No, go do that. I mean, we out here.
Okay. I know we checked off all a list of saying the stuff we got.
We ain't checked it off yet, but since you talking and I done got it now, let me just take it and we'll get it. So, hey, this week, Stuart Hagestad coming in here, reigning U.S. mid-amateur champion. Stuart is the number one mid-amateur in the country. Excuse me, the world. He's also world number 9, top 10 player, amateur golfer in the world. Will, I can't wait to get into this with Stu, man. This is my guy, my homie, man. We go back.
Yeah, you can't minimize, you know, the country versus the world. The world, Craig.
It's the world, Craig.
From my Friday quote of Monday.
Yeah.
Yes, all that is cool and fine and dandy, but I got to give credit to you, Broham.
What?
You, what? I mean, I was proud of you once again. You hit the broadcasting trail. You were and correct me if I get this wrong. You were an analyst for PGA Tour Entertainment, PGA Network, correct?
PGA Tour Entertainment.
PGA Tour Entertainment. Yes, I heard you on the ones and twos, and I felt like, I mean, I was wanting to join you. I was like, Doug, he's killing it. Yeah, Doug. Well, once Doug said that, I can jump in and say that. But either way, Dougie, I'm proud of you, man, because you handle yourself like a true professional.
And I appreciate it.
And, you know, I'm all about, you know, what's the money like, dog? We're going to talk about, you know, Drew and, I mean, you know, what's he doing to sustainability to have this impeccable amateur career. But how much you get paid, too, dog? Let me know. I mean, because we're trying to go this game.
Not discussing that. I need a little bit more than what I got, but I was, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't what you thought it was.
We're trying to grow this game and tell kids to come on and get in this
broadcasting. I'm going to tell you what, it's very lucrative to be a consultant. I will say that. That way you can go and do what you need to do, you know, and when you need to do it. But I appreciate that, Will, man. No, it was dope. I was a little nervous, man, going into the booth, studio, lights, multi-cameras. You got PGA Tour winners and champions and Robert Dameron and Phil Blackmar, and shout out to John Swantek for just really just kind of taking me under his wing and just telling me, like,
how was the preparation? Like, what did you do to prep?
I read everything. You know, I had note pages on every player. You know, luckily NBC gives us the research that comes out every week for the championship. So I actually went out to TPC Summerlin last Tuesday before last now. And just the pro there, it's in the section here in the Southwest section. He let me play. So I got to play a golf course that the PGA Tour was coming to 1 week prior. So I got to play with the stands up and the man, I was, people on Instagram think I played in the damn pro-am, but no, I was just out there after they set all the shit up. So that was dope, man. And, shout out to Sun J.M., man, holding it down, getting that W, man. That course was, I knew it was going to be a shootout, but 24 under, Will. When you shoot 24 under in 4 days of golf, you playing the hell out of some G.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, given the fact he's the youngest multiple winner on tour this season, or this year, rather, I have to get understanding of what the hell is he doing? Like, what is he drinking? What is he eating? Because the guy seems like he's fearless. He doesn't care. He don't care.
No, I agree. There's not a pin that he's not trying to fire at anywhere on a golf course. With any lead. Got a 5-shot lead on 16, hitting it over the water, 83 yards, and flags it, stone dead. And it's like, dude, you could have just hit it 30 feet and 2-putt. You got 2 holes left. Like, what are you doing?
Absolutely. I mean, he hit 24 under in 4 days. What'd you do in the 18 holes by yourself with nobody in the stands?
I discuss that, man. I'm trying to make people think I can actually play this kid. Why the hell? Where did that come from? I was trying to follow the question, and you hit me with a U-turn and brought it back. No, we're not.
Yeah.
I was getting prepared for a championship. There wasn't. I wasn't trying to shoot a score. I was a couple under, but I wasn't trying to shoot a score. Will, I was
whatever. I know you done. You ain't fooling me with that. You was out there. You had your own. You had. You didn't have the U.S. Open. You had the Us Open all by yourself.
I had the me open in that moment. I had the me open. Hey, shout out to Amari Avery making her LPGA Tour debut this week at the Cognizant Championship. Missed the cut. Shot 2-under the second round. Will, a lot of good stuff coming out of her. Love that little girl. We're going to see a lot of her in the future. And she's solid. And I don't know if you haven't met her, but she's one of my favorite people.
I have not met the young lady yet, but I heard great, great things about her. For sure. Hey, it was something else that was interesting, too. The ANA Inspiration is deuces, no longer there, and obviously, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, mm-hmm. Chevron has decided to be the title sponsor, but they said if we're going to be the title sponsor, you need to move your ass on out here to Houston. So it leads me to the question: will we have some type of miniature Poppy's Pond at the 18th green, or is it going to be a white robe? So, I mean, these are traditions of the game that I am so, you know, I'm saying worried about is the right word, but I'm really skeptic over, are we going to continue? Like, I really think that, you know, they need to have that tradition follow the tournament wherever it goes. So it'd be dope if Chevron would honor that.
Well, I got some thoughts on that, and I'm going to get to them on the backside, because right now, after the break, we're coming back and talking to mid-amateur champion Stuart Hagestad right here, Beyond the Fairway. Stuart Hagestad stepping in here, going Beyond the Fairway right here, Golf Channel NBC. Stu, what's up, man?
What's up, bro? How are you? It's been a long time.
I know. It's been too long. Stu, you know what? Let's be formal. Stuart, William, Stuart, making sure y'all know each other.
Pleasure to meet you, bro. I heard so many great things about you.
You too, my man. You too.
I got questions, but I'm gonna let go get the formalities out of the way. I just got questions. I mean, the streets want to know. The streets want to know.
The street. Stu. All right, the streets want to know. Well, I want to go back. I want to go back to 2016 to get this thing started with Stu. I'm gonna just say this out loud. If Stu and I didn't play in the qualifier for the U.S. Mid-Am that he won that year, I don't think he would even answer the phone when I call. I'm going to tell you why. Because I actually got to beat Stu one day. Put it out there, Stu. I'm sorry to call you out. It's our show.
We've had two very big things happen together.
When Stu and I get together, Will, it's magic. It's just magic. No, in all seriousness, Stu, I think you had won the You won the Med-Am in 16, correct? So you're coming off the Med-Am. And so we're all at Philly. I was living in New York or New Jersey area at the time, Will. And I get paired with Stu in the qualifier for the U.S. Mid-Am that he would go on to win.
Fiddler's Elbow. Mm.
Stu, there's a bigger story there that I don't think people even know. Because I was boring. I shot a number and went home. You, on the other hand... Sorry, I love being able to talk. This is the only talk I can give Stu, Will. It's the only time I can talk. All right. You went into a 7-for-1 playoff that year?
No, it was 8-for-3, and it got whittled down to, I think it got whittled down to 5-for-2, and we got to like the fifth playoff hole, and I hooped like a 30-footer, and thought it was just the coolest thing in the world, and then obviously some other stuff happened, but yeah, it was wild. It was like the last one, like night was like, it was the last playoff all before it got too dark. It was epic.
Yeah, Will, it was dope. Cause like the thing was, Stuart's like all of what, 6'5", Stu?
All of it.
And then you see this giraffe of a man just coming back toward the clubhouse triumphant. Just like, he's got the broomstick.
You know? You were long gone.
I was kidding. No, believe it or not, true story. I waited to see if you qualified.
Did you?
True story. Yep. Because I remember
Hey, guys. I'm so glad you guys are going down this memory lane. I got questions. I know you guys got this bromance.
Go ahead.
Cute.
No, we'll let it out. No.
Stu.
What's good? What's up?
You ranked 9th in the amateur world, bro. You played 24 different USGA championships. Remember 3 Walker Cups. I got to ask you, dog. where are you getting this money to keep this amateur status, dog? Like, what do you do? Because right now, bro, I'm on my wolf. Right now, I'm on my Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay. Okay.
If you can show me a paycheck, I'm quitting right now. If you can show me a paycheck where you can maintain this level of perfection in golf without getting a paycheck for golf, bro, I'm quitting my job right now and I'm coming to work for you. I'm telling you right now.
So
I mean, because right now you are a modern day Francis Wee Matt. I mean, you John Ball Jr. right now. You John Ball Jr. Like I am talking to Walter Travis.
So here's the deal. So one, if you look at how many events I've played compared to some of the guys out there, I'm not going to sit here and name names because it's not important. I really don't play that much. I don't play in four balls, the exception of the USGA four ball, not doing that this year. I don't play in member guests. I mean, dude, I don't play a lot of social golf. I just don't. But the events I show up to, like I throw everything I've got at them and then I take my time off. So here's the deal. So before business school, I would work for 8 months, then I would play for four. Didn't get a bonus, didn't get like a status bump, right? So like I've been stuck at like associate for forever, right? So like playing amateur golf, I know this is going to sound crazy, but if you cover your flight, just about every tournament has host housing. Just about every tournament has like meals that are there. So like as long as you plan in advance, it's really not as expensive as people think it is. That being said, like, yeah, I'm very fortunate. And yeah, I'm really proud of the way I've played in some of the bigger events. I've balled. It's been awesome.
Bro,
I've played great, but at the same time, like I will be the first one to be like, hey, like outside of like these events, I really don't play a ton. I'll play and I'll practice, right? Like, I mean, essentially if you're working from 8 to 5, 8 to 5:30, like you can go be efficient for 2 hours. But between the months, like for example, the mid-amals last week, like I've played with a buddy once since then, but after that event, like I'm not getting ready for anything. I'm not doing a putting drill until like December at the earliest.
So
right? My definition of practicing. Sure, you go put in a podcast, you put on Beyond the Fairway and you go like scratch the itch and chip for an hour. That doesn't count. I'm saying like you sat down and you had structured practice to get ready for an event. No, when the anxiety kicks in and we need to, you know, get ready for a couple things in 2021, like go focus on other things. Like I need to put a ton of weight back on. You know, so I need to basically go do other things that make golf as much fun as it is to go play and practice.
So you're saying playing less golf is what you're saying. Play
just
less
be efficient.
Golf.
Yeah. Just be efficient.
I get it. I mean, you played 24 different USGA championships. I haven't even played 24 different tee boxes. But here's where I kind of want to go in. I struggle with the same thing. Social golf. How much do you hate social golf? When I mean you're a tournament player in the purest form. Mm-hmm. How much do you hate social golf?
Yeah, cool. Here's the thing. I don't hate it. I don't hate it because there's certainly a time and place to do it. I just don't make it a priority. I think like a lot of people think it would, right? Like for example, if I would categorize social golf essentially as client golf. Like it's very rare that I'll play. Mm-hmm. Client golf, right? Like it's not like, oh, you know, a couple guys who, you know, throw out an example, like one of the LA major finance firms, right? Like one of the major, whether it's a buy side firm, sell side firm, whatever, and a C-suite guy comes out or a global head of the Americas comes out, like, yeah, you're gonna prioritize that. Like you're gonna go
absolutely.
Out of your way to play
with
a guy
like that.
Right? But like with all due respect to not to throw anyone that works insurance under the but like I'm not gonna go, you know, play golf with someone that's slinging life insurance. Like, I just, with all due respect, I just don't care. Right? Who's like a 10 or 12 handicap. Like, if someone's a good player, and I know maybe that's a little selfish, and hey, sorry.
I get it.
But yeah, like, right. I would personally rather go play with some of my best friends, or I'd rather just do other things.
Well,
and if that makes me a bad person, then so be it.
I wouldn't call you a bad person. We're all three bad people.
I'm a horrible person.
I mean,
that's one of the understated things, though, Stu. People don't realize when you play tournament golf and you need to get your juices to a certain level to make it interesting and you need something on the line to play for and you want to go play and take fireball shots.
But Doug, you know what? Let me tell you with me, though. It's even worse when I play social golf, which I don't like. I play social golf and the guy happens to beat me because I don't care. So then the level of, Will's not really that good. Like,
so here's what you do. Here's what you do in that case. What you do is you qualify for 24 USGA events and you play in four majors and you play on three Walker Cup teams, then you just stop caring.
You just drop the mic.
You're just like, you know what? Awesome. Let's grab beers after. Like, you played great. So, like, one of my best friends is a good player. And I remember in college, like, back in the day, I shot 4 under. I think I shot 2 or 3. And I was, like, I was trying to figure out, like, if I was pissed or not. And I was like, you know what? Like, you're a really close friend of mine. I'm so fired up for you. Like, that's awesome. Like, if it's a tournament and we're putting the score on a board, then we can have fighting.
You're right. That's the way I am.
Then we can level the scale a little bit.
Next social golf, I'm going to say I got 18 mini tour events, 25 USGA local US Open qualifier events.
Hey, I'm going to drop the mic on his ass.
Hey, Stu, when you are getting ready for these championships, what is, if there is some secret sauce to how you prepare? Because I know you are meticulous. I know you do take care of your body. You are in the gym. You do eat correctly, mostly, in the 8 months of the year. Like, for a player like you who does have a life outside the game, what is it like? How do you prepare and get ready for a championship?
I think I'll say two things. One, it's very, very helpful in the time that you're not playing to put in deposits into yourself and into your body. And it's not just like, it doesn't need to necessarily be like, oh, you're hitting balls, you're chipping, you're putting or whatever. Like right now I've got, call it 6 months, you know, until the first event of the year. I don't know what that'll be yet. Hopefully it's something in Georgia, but you know, I have 6 months, right? So you have 6 months essentially to build up your legs, to put some weight back on, you know, to do other things outside of golf, like that will help benefit your performance on the course. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of it that I don't think I ever really appreciated as much when I was younger was you need to maintain like kind of a irrational high belief in yourself and your ability. And one thing I'm very lucky to have had is, you know, I've played in some big events and I've had the chance to see kind of how good the guys are, whether it's guys on Walker Cup teams or guys in majors. But I really try and make a conscious effort to like believe in myself and my ability and like to have that high sense of belief. But then when the time comes mm-hmm. to go prepare, like, you know, what's good enough. So if you're like, take the anxiety that you have and leverage it to help you prepare, if that makes any sense. So going in, you know, to events, say you're, you know, 1 or 2 months out, like, you know, you need to start preparing and you know, the types of shots and kind of the feels that you need to get to be ready or adequately ready, based upon like what you've felt before, if that makes sense.
How did you apply those certain attributes in the Masters, 2017 Masters, when you played?
That's a tricky one to answer. I could answer that better for the U.S. Opens after, or getting ready for the U.S. or getting ready to qualify.
Let it
for
out,
US
dude. Opens.
No, let so it the out. Reason I say that's tricky, right, is because going into the Masters, like, I set, you know, this goal for myself to finish in the top 12. And because that'll, like, get you an invite
overall
next year. Right. Overall. But like, realistically, at the time I had won the Med Am and I had won the Mid Am. I really hadn't done anything else. So considering this is about self-belief, like, I'll go into a little bit more detail, but like, it's one thing to like kind of put on this facade or like, you know, this degree of like, hey, you know, this is what my goal is and this is what I want to do. It's another thing to actually be like, no, like, I'm going to do this. Like, anything else is not good enough. And you look at top players in the world, like, they go from, I mean, Brooks said it best, right? Like, when he first came on tour, it's, you're just trying to make cuts. And then after that, he's trying to finish the top 25. And then he's just trying to top 10. And now he's kind of at the point where, like, if you don't win, it's not good enough. And yeah. I think
it's boring.
What's up?
It's boring if you don't win for Brooks.
Yeah. Like, if your standard for yourself, like, if you don't win, that's not good enough. So I think, and I'm not sitting here saying, you know, I'm going to do it, but like, you know, I think I know what it feels like and what it takes, you know, to be able to prepare for it, you know, adequately in the right way. And I think going into, you know, the spring, like, that's the standard, is like, what's good enough? Like, no, like, if we play our best golf, like, I genuinely believe that you can top 10. Doesn't mean I'll do it, but like, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. So like, go prepare the right way. Do everything you can to get to that point where it's like, you know what? I am ready to go out here and to play great.
Honest, since we got the hair down this morning, it's 8 o'clock out here on the West Coast. How dope is it to play in the Masters? Like, forget all the other stuff that you, how dope is that?
I mean,
or is it like nerve wracking? I don't
know. I'd love to have similar experience. You know, it's the last time, but I mean, it's just, it's a really special place to me. My birthday is April 10th. So it's always kind of around that time of year. I mean, everything that goes into it, you know, there's certain vistas that stick out to me in my head. The members do an amazing job of kind of making everyone feel welcome, from the patrons to the staff, to the media, to the players.
I mean, it's just, they're going to do with that PC stuff, Will. I know, but that PC,
dude,
they might hear me say this.
It's the coolest. Like, it's just a very, very special place.
When did you realize you were there? Like, what was the moment where you're like, holy shit, I'm at Augusta National?
There were a couple times when I was down there playing practice rounds where I was the only person on the golf course. And there was just like, I remember vividly, like, there were a few moments where I was like, you know what? Like, this is pretty special. This is as good as it gets. And, I'm probably going to do the same thing again this year. You know, you can't just, like, the week before, you know, think about that first tee shot, or, you know, the first day, or being there, or whatever it may be. Like, think about all the people that, you know, are down there to support you and, you know, that are in your group, you know, that have loved you and supported you and done everything they can to kind of encourage you, you know, to get to that point and just really embrace, you know, that moment. And, you know, hopefully we have that opportunity again. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be a great week.
Bro, I have to say, I love your life, man. I love your life.
Grass is always greener, man. Grass is always greener.
And, you know, Bobby Jones once said, you know, golf is the only game that I know that actually becomes harder the longer you play it. Given that your past resume, is the game getting easier for you? Like, are you completely opposite ends of the spectrum of what Bobby Jones, the great amateur golfer, once said?
I mean, it's not like the nerves go away. So I think what he kind of meant by that, or in maybe in some context, or maybe just the way that I'm taking it, is in the last three mid-ams after I won, I've been fortunate to get to the semis twice and to the finals once. And there's pros and cons. I mean, pros are, you know, you have a lot of self-belief, you know, you can do it. You kind of know what your standard for yourself is going into and leaving those events. The cons are, you know, a lot of the carrots that come with it, you know, if you go and you play great and you win it. So, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself and, you know, maybe to a fault, but, you know, I guess it helped me prepare and I got beat both of those years. And obviously I was fortunate to come out on top this year, but, I think there's a couple different ways to take that. I certainly wouldn't say it's getting easier. I'm the first person to admit golf is really, really hard. You need to celebrate wins appropriately. You need to take in and, you know, really be excited and, you know, reminisce on that moment and what that feels like. Tiger's the best with Jack, arguably, of all time. And their winning percentage is, what, just north of 20%, less than 25%. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, the most prolific winners ever. So, when you do play great, you know, go and embrace it, you know, just really enjoy that moment. And golf's really hard is the short answer. It's really, really hard.
Well, Stu, we've seen you on Golf Channel here, and everybody wants to ask you the same dumbass question that every other person. So, Stu, when are you going to turn pro? Blah, 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 blah. Not the question I'm asking. My question is, Stu, how tired are you of hearing that question every time you do something decent in golf? Like, Stu, when you turn pro? You turn pro tomorrow, next week? You need a U.S. Open Championship to turn pro? You going to give the money back?
Hey, man, you know, I'm lucky to be in this position. If that's the question, I know how to answer it, I guess. But I don't know. It's, you know, it's a totally, totally normal question, and people are interested. And just the fact that they think I'm good enough to turn pro is pretty humbling, I guess. But, yeah, I don't. Hey, listen, you know, people are going to ask things all the time, no matter what you're in. So you just deal with it accordingly.
Well, Stu, here's the next question. Like you said, man, I don't really beat around this bush too much. You know, with this new amateurism, when we getting paid, bro? Like, we can get paid now. So
hey,
what do we?
If you think I haven't reached out, man?
Who? I mean, I got work day right here. I mean, do I need to call somebody for you? Do you have an agent now?
If you know Anil, I'm happy to take
Anil Bursch. That's my guy.
I'll go out of my way to take his call.
That's my guy, and that's a social golf that you and I both can play for sure.
Hey,
I'm Anil.
I'm a really, really good listener, and I'll do exactly what I'm told.
Anil, let's go, Anil.
honestly though, Stu, has that changed anything for you? That's like, hold on now, I might be able to get a Rolex on my wrist now going into this next Walker Cup.
Yeah, how are you? How are your thoughts on that? I'm sorry.
That's a great question. you know, I'd be lying if I said I haven't reached out just to test the waters and just to see what's out there. But at the same time, I've got a couple friends who don't need to be named, but, you know, that are agents working that space. And they've become more friends than agents. Like, obviously, I don't have a contract with them and I don't get paid. So, like, anyone wants to take that soundbite and do what they want with it, go ahead. Like, I haven't signed anything. you're allowed to consult all you want. Not in college, so, or I'm, you know, get my MBA, but I'm not in NCAA.
No, you're not in, right. You're not an undergrad. You're not an undergrad.
Yeah. So, right. You know, in that sense, yeah, I mean, like, of course you can ask. Like, I think it'd be kind of stupid if you didn't. But at the same time, like, I think that those, you know, NIL type rules with the NCAA kind of force the hand of the USGA. You know, I really don't think it's going to affect that many people per year. Certainly, like, you know, a Matt Wolf would have been out there, and there's a couple kids in college that we just don't need to go into that, you know, might have some interest from that standpoint. But, like, listen, I'm open. I'm available. I would love to help build out my brand, you know, of company. Like, I'm, but at the same time, hey, listen, you know, I've got a few guys that I absolutely love. Like, I've known the guys over at Johnny O. I've known John O'Donnell for years. He's incredibly great to me and wearing stuff now. That's not like a plug for the brand. I love their stuff and it's great. And whether or not, you know, I happen to get a couple things from here and there, I would buy it myself. So, you know, similarly, like, you know, from a club standpoint, like, everyone gets clubs, balls and shoes. Like, the game has changed a lot in the last however many years, decades, whatever. I'm very lucky. I'm, you know, can't say enough good things.
All right, so we have the 2020 U.S. Open at Brookline where you have an exemption that's coming up. How are you getting your game prepared for that? Anything special, or are you just going to wait? You're going to go with the win and wait to the week before?
I mean, I'm fired up. I qualified for that a week and a half ago, whatever it is now, a week ago. I'm still kind of enjoying that. And no, I really, it's on my mind, of course, but at the same time, I think part of what makes preparing so important is like having that anxiety and having that time build up to be like, hey, like I miss golf and I want to go prepare. Right now I'm enjoying it. Shoot, I got a couple things to take care of this week. And as soon as those are done, I'm probably going to get back in the gym and start trying to put a bunch of weight back on. I've lost a ton of weight and I'd love to do that.
You can't afford to lose no weight, Stu.
Dude, I can't. I'm at like 86 right now. At one point I was up to 205. Like I need to put 20 pounds back on. So if you guys have a rice guy and a grilled chicken guy, like in a broccoli guy, that's my diet for the next like 6 months.
LA's not going to help.
I want to hear from, I heard it from the black perspective. I want to hear from the white perspective. I heard there was an encounter between you, Dougie, and Barack Obama.
How are you going to take my story?
President Obama.
Because, you know, there's always the there's two sides of the pancake. There's two sides of the pancake. And no matter how thin it is, there's still two sides.
I'm not trying to get canceled here, man. This is a loaded question.
You will not get canceled. Doug told me.
This is podcast media, man. We good.
He told me he saw Barack Obama off in the distance. And they it's just what black people do. It's just the culture thing. A head nod.
Have you seen the Key and Peele speech or the Key and Peele video?
Yes, where the code switching.
No. Where he's going down the line shaking hands.
Yeah, it's another version of code switch. Yeah,
that's basically absolutely what happened.
That's what happened. Right, give me a little bit of background. I got to hear it, man.
All right. So Doug was in LA and we were talking and long story short, we ended up getting together. We go out to LA and we hit a couple ball or what was it? We
hadn't hit yet. We had just got there.
So we get there and Ballmer was coming up 18 with President Obama. And, you know, we're sitting there and I was with Doug and with the head pro and we're just going to chit chatting. And I was like, Doug, like, do you want to hit a few or do you want to wait? You know, president. And he was like, that's the president. We're waiting. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, Stu tried to take me off wheel and hit balls. No.
I gave you the option. I was like, you saw him earlier. Do we want to pretend like it's not that cool? Like, what are we doing here? Because, like, I've never met the guy. And, like, he's also with, like, you know, the Clippers / you know, Microsoft. Like, I'm not really in a position to go up and be like, hey, I'm this guy. Like, no, I was just like, hey, you know, we'll do what you want here.
So, okay, let's do one of these.
We're waiting.
Let's just sit here for a second.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. So he comes up and what happened? So yeah, like he sees the head pro, he sees Doug, and I'm just like this random guy he's never met before. And, you know, he thanks the head pro, he thanks Tom, you know, and then he sees me and he's like, hey, I'm, you know, Barack Obama's like, Mr. President, it's an honor to meet you. Like, you say what you're supposed to. And he like daps up Doug and I'm like, okay. He's like, hey, what's up? I saw you earlier. I'm like, so I don't, nothing said, whatever. I was just like, okay, cool. It's awesome. I mean, we saw each other earlier, totally get it. So we go out and we play nine or whatever cards. And at one point, Doug's like, hey, do you want to talk about Barack? And I was like, yes, I've been waiting for an hour to talk about this.
But Will, what's crazy was coming off, before me and Stu got to actually talk on the when we're playing, Barack's coming off. I'm over here saying it like I know the guy. President Obama's coming off the 18 green.
You are first name based, this guy. That
right. It felt natural. I feel like we'll get there. But he hit me with the nod from about 60 yards. And I hit him with the head down. The funny part was Stu actually in that moment goes, what was that? What was that? Like, he's like, what was that? He's like, did you just guys speak? Was that, what is that? And I was like, we'll talk later. So that's why when we got to the chorus, Stu was like, yes, let's talk.
I was like, hey, we need to talk about
this. Funny.
It's like awesome, man. It was so cool. Like, yeah, any chance you get to meet a president, let alone, like, see one of your guys, like, you know, have any kind of rapport, like, that was amazing. It was a really cool moment.
Right. That was the instant connection. I'm sure Doug drug that head nod out as long as he could. I'm sure.
No, it was smooth. It was quick, man. It was too many people around, man. I just hit him with the. You know how it is. They go up, we go down, man. I have nothing for Stu except, Will, our favorite way to send home a guest. But before we do that, I got to make sure, Will, you got everything you need out of the number one mid-amateur player in the world.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going to show up for first day of work. That's it. I got my letter with 2 weeks notice. Give the NBC. Yeah, I'm waiting on you, man. Cause I definitely can do this 26 different amateur, you know, USGA tournament thing. I think I'd be suited for that. I do. So just, we can go out and try to save money together.
We'll let you and Stu set up y'all's direct deposit to each other later. But Stu, we send our guests home the only way that we know how. You'll never get this question anywhere else in golf. Rap foursome right here beyond the fairway, Stuart Hagestad. Stu, you're gonna go play golf with four rappers. You're playing a five ball. You, four rappers. You're there at LACC. I don't care if they're dead or alive, if they play golf or if they don't. Who you show up to the course with, man?
So I'm an early, I was born in 91, right? So my like middle school, I graduated eighth grade in 05 and then high school, obviously in 09. College, we don't need to discuss because that's kind of like a moving target. But I'm like in that area, right? So my first one would be Jay-Z.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The Black Album, I think it was. That was
specific.
Like
I love
eighth
that.
Grade,
yes.
early high school. Definitely Lil Wayne, the Carter Three.
Okay.
Ooh, Carter. Yes.
Yeah, that was a good album. No, I'm not gonna lie. There.
Probably Tupac. Just because I feel like, you know,
you gotta say
pretty
Tupac.
Instrumental in that space and just growing up, you know, Southern California and just like everything that came with it, like who knows how much unreleased music there is, let alone like if I hear like Ambitions as a Rider, like coming into match play, like that song gets me going.
You know what? That's how we're going to send this out of here then. Brian, find
it. The last one would probably be Eminem, just because same thing. Like if I have to hear like 8 Mile or Lose Yourself, like that'd be incredible.
Man, you're trying to send him home early. Hey, speaking of 8 Mile, there was some type of release, I guess the footage of Tiger getting ready for an event listening to Eminem's 8 Mile. It was on Instagram the other day.
Doom,
I thought
doom,
it was kind of...
Doom, doom,
yeah,
doom,
it, like, it if you doom, hear doom, Lose Yourself hear or 8 Mile, or any of them, and, like, you don't want to run through a wall, like, we can't be friends.
Give it to me real quick. Mom Spaghetti, arms are heavy, vomit on his sweater already.
Mom Spaghetti?
Come on, let's go. Let's go. One at a time. Let's go. Doesn't you know it?
I'm not letting this happen. That's all we got right here. Stuart Hagestad coming here, going beyond the fairway with my co-homie Will Lowry, Dougie Fresh. Hey, Stu, I don't know when you're playing again next. But
hey, you call me, and we'll make it happen. We'll get Will involved,
there's a Palm Springs golf course. I think we should all meet up at. Bring your pops and bring some wine, Stu. Let's get it cracking. Will, Stu's got to go to school right now, so we got to let him go.
There you go.
Hey, good luck on your NBA, man. I don't know why you're doing it, but I love it.
Right. I guess you get a promotion. I don't know.
Hey, it's all good. Just trying to get better.
Now, that right there, that professional-driven model which you have can definitely be looked at it and praised for. So congratulations on everything you're doing, bro. Can't say it. We just had Stu. That was Stu Money. Stu Hagestad. You know what, Doug? You know, there's a quote. I know I had this is my second Bobby Jones quote of the whole segment today. Yep. Bobby Jones said, "It is nevertheless a game of considerable passion, either or the explosive type, or that which burns inwardly and sears the soul." I think he's a true definition of a pure amateur golfer who don't care about the money, just has pure love for the game. And what he said today, really inspired me to go and get my amateur status back. I just don't know if I can pay the money. I don't know if I can pay the money to get my money back or get my amateur status
back. It's only like 150 bucks to get your amateur status back.
If he hires me, perhaps.
Yeah, you know, if he does hire you, I mean, I think Stu has the pedigree to be able to pull that off one day. Nah, but you know, it's funny. Stu and I, man, we've known each other for a little while. We got paired together in a qualifier for the Mid-Am that he actually won in 16, and that was my last event as an amateur. And no, Stu is fiery, man. Like when you on the ropes with Stu, man, he a different dude. Like he really is like super hyper focused, man. He got every shot in the bag, and if he ever decided that, you know what, I'm going to go play this golf professionally, I really think he'd be one of the top 25 players. Like, after getting out there and getting acclimated for who he is, how he works, and his work ethic, I think Stuart Hagestad could be, if he felt like it, top 25 players in the world. But I just enjoy, every time I get with Stu, it was magic here, magic with Obama, magic when we qualified for the U.S. Mid-Am. And I'm glad. I love when my friends get to meet Will. Like you helped me meet Steph Curry this year. You and him are boys, and I feel like that's a big reach saying Stu, but now I kind of gave it back. With it's just love, though.
No, but in the grand scheme of things of like golf, I mean Stu's up there with Steph. Like the accomplishments and where we all aspire to be. I know where Steph wants to be. Steph wants to be a great golfer, and if you're a good golfer, no matter who you are, He's going to want to be around. I'm kind of, I probably pretty much have the same sentiments as well. So I can't wait to get my ass busted by an amateur, I guess. I mean, I guess
that's what he got that broomstick ass putter too. Stu like 6'7" out there swinging that thing like Adam Scott.
Oh, he's cheating then. Okay.
Yeah, he's cheating. He's just why he make everything.
I'll just take that back. But no, he's not cheating.
You know what? Although he is an amateur and has stayed an amateur, we had a chance to really talk to a true professional. I value my relationship with Stu, man. He's just good people, man. So, Stu, we wish you all the best at the U.S. Open coming up next year at Brookline. And guess what? Stu's going back to the Masters. I don't know. Can he be top 12 and get into the following year? I don't know. He'd better turn his ass pro the following year.
Absolutely, because the most important thing, Dougie, the most important thing, can he get his tickets?
I don't want to be on that. That lottery. But look, you know what? Before we went to the interview and before the breaks, Will, we talked about the ANA Inspiration moving to Houston. That's kind of a gut punch. You know, I've kind of grown accustomed to that Poppy Pond hop and the players and the caddy and they team jumping in the water and the par five finish, et cetera, et cetera. It's the Dinosaur, then turn the ANA Inspiration in 83. It's a long time. It's a long time after or being somewhere to just say, I'm out, especially for a major.
I mean, you gotta pretty much understand the whole dynamics of, I guess, when it comes to sponsorships and what have you. Because, you know, for far too long, when it comes to PGA Tour, you know, big names go after the PGA Tour as far as trying to be a title sponsor, you know. And when you see a big name such as Chevron, who has sponsored events on the PGA Tour and now want to maybe sponsor an event on the LPGA, that's a W. But it, I know it also takes a toll on, you know, everything, the history of, you know, of that, that side of golf when it comes to the traditions of the game and jumping in Poppy's Pond. I just hope they take the Poppy's Pond idea and take it to Chevron.
Just scoop, or to, just to scoop it up. Just it, should it. Hope, it should still be Poppy's. It should still be Poppy's Pond.
Yes. I mean, it's regardless, you know, LPGA is they're still trying to grow the game, and you just can't eliminate traditions that people are, who are so used to, especially growing up, coming up in the game of golf in general. So I hope that
you think they would just dig that pond up and take it, or they just make a whole new swimming pool.
Oh, you know, no, no. Pool, yeah.
It used to be a pond, yeah, fish and stuff. Now it's got chlorine in it. And...
yeah. It's a, you know, just get a whole new, a grub above ground pool. That's all.
Introducing the all new Whoop 4.0, the latest and most advanced fitness wearable available. Track your recovery, sleep, training, and health with personalized recommendations and coaching feedback so you can perform your best on the course. The 4.0 is smaller, smarter, and designed with a new biometric tracking that includes skin temperature, blood oxygen, and more. Plus, it was designed with any wear technology so you can free your wrists and wear it with their own revolutionary Whoop body sensor enhanced technical garments. About that, Will, body sensor enhanced technical garments. Well, you know what? I'm not the biggest fan, and I love Whoop, but sometimes Whoop cusses at me. I don't know if your Whoop has a beep, but my Whoop says you are not in shape, and it cusses me out. Get your ass out the bed. I'm not the best at cardio. I know lately, Will, I've seen you kind of posting some in the gym cardio segments. What are you doing in the gym to cardio, man?
I mean, you know, I just try to get the, I want to get the heart rate up. But one thing about Whoop, it's too detailed. Too detailed. It's too detailed. It tells you everything that you're not doing. So, like, when I do my cardio and I run, right, it literally, I run in my neighborhood, it literally tells you or tracks where you actually went. And there's some times when I'm coming back, I'm breathing heavy, and I'm like, man, I killed it. And then I look back and see where I actually went, and I didn't go anywhere. It didn't go where I went in my mind. It just didn't compute. It didn't pan out. So I'm big on cardio. I'm big on, you know, just getting the heart rate up. But I want to know where I'm going. You know, I'm a big component of, you know, you. What's my little saying? You can't. No, that ain't it. Well, anyway, I just don't want to mess up. That's all it is.
That's why I love you, man. Saying? That's why you keep it authentic. It's all somebody good. It's authentic, man. But you, Whoop tells on you to you that you didn't do what you thought you did.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Whoop is snitching. Dry snitching. Sorry.
Dry snitching.
That's what.
Well, speaking of dry snitching, we have everybody else. We need everybody else to get towed on because the all-new waterproof Whoop is free when you sign up for Whoop 4.0 membership. And right now, Whoop is offering 15% off when you use the Fairway code at checkout. Go to Whoop, W-H-O-O-P, and enter Fairway, F-A-I-R-W-A-Y, and check out and save 15%.
William! Yo. Man, I enjoyed this episode, man. We had my man Stu Hagestad coming in here. We had Sanjay M winning. Talked A&A Inspiration, or whatever it's going to be called now with Chevron coming here and taking it in. And I get to see you this week, man. I'm hyped, man. This week, when y'all hear this episode, me and Will, we're going to do some things. We're taking over Scottsdale, Arizona, dog. I'll see you in, like, a few hours, bro.
Couple hours, man. I'm about to take... You ever realize it feel like... This is... Doug, don't judge me. It feels like from Charlotte to California is closer than Charlotte to Phoenix. So I'm about to go on this long plane ride, basically what I'm trying to say. I hate flying to Phoenix. I feel like it takes forever.
We're going to discuss that when you get out here. I don't understand how going further feels shorter.
It don't matter.
I don't know.
It don't matter.
Maybe it's the plane height, speed of plane, size. I don't know. But guess
it
what?
Takes forever.
You know what, Will, and I have spent way too much time with you this morning, man. I can't wait to see you, dog. Stu, thank you so much for coming in here, going beyond the fairway, man. Stuart Hagestad, true gentleman, true professional, an amateur. Catch y'all next week. Hey, listen, follow, subscribe. You know where to find us, man. Beyond the fairway. It's, you don't want to be. This is the only time you don't want to hit a fairway. That's really it. You want to be beyond it. at that dude right there. Will us this way. This guy and myself. Come holler at us. We'll see you next week.
I'm gonna let it sit. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm gonna let it sit.
Where my quote at?